It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. Before we begin with my guest, Julie Brannon, I'm going to remind everyone that you can go to synergyconnectionradio.com and see all of the archive shows that are there. There's also some amazing information about health and wellness with the Boomer Forever Young site. So you can click on there for a newsletter. You can go into their website and listen to some of the recordings. There's blogs, there's a ton of information. And during these times of COVID-19, I think we all have to be aware of what we need to do to get healthy in our lives. And that is why Julie is here today, is to kind of explain what her shop does. So Julie's a trained master herbalist, which I find very cool. She's a formulator and founder of Bailey's Naturals Herbal Apothecary. So that's kind of a mouthful, but it's in downtown Safety Harbor, and it's been there for the last 15 years. For more than two decades, she has assisted her clients on their journey to what she calls vibrant health. And wow, I think everyone needs to be feeling pretty vibrant these days as we face some of the bacteria and viruses that are probably out there more than we ever knew. So she is an advocate of healthy living, and that's kind of where we're going to start today's show, is being an advocate for your customers that come in through the door. You know, they are probably more than terrified of what's been going on. And certainly the news and social media has made us that way. Because even now, this morning, the first thing Good Morning America reported was we have now reached that amazing, horrible landmark of 100,000 people who have died of coronavirus. And, you know, you and I talked briefly about the fact that 100,000 number is probably remarkably skewed, because almost everyone that I've talked to that's in the healthcare field is being told that if there is symptomology for COVID-19, they are to put the death was caused by COVID-19. Yes. Now, are you hearing the same thing?
I am. I think ultimately, though, there are going to be a lot of lessons learned as we come out the other side of this. Mm-hmm. Our nation has never dealt with anything like this before. I think, you know, in the long run, they're going to see, okay, we did this really wrong. We mm-hmm. sort of did this right. And there's going to be a path for the future. Mm-hmm. I'm a glass half full as opposed to half empty kind of gal. And let me also say, Lucy, I'm just delighted to be here with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show to share some stuff with your listeners. So, yes, I am seeing that with my customers to an extent. Early on, as I was telling folks, I talked a lot of people off the ledge. You know, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. I've seen that come down somewhat. Mm-hmm. But I am seeing that my customers on the whole are a little more concerned about the things that they can do to build their natural defenses, to increase their own immunity. Because let's face it, this human body is a remarkable organism. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are cells and systems and all these things programmed to do what they're supposed to do, and they do them without our knowledge every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And as the host of all these amazing, miraculous systems and cells, it's our responsibility to give them what they need to function in an optimum way.
And it's not a McDonald's.
That's exactly right. I like to say we either eat to live or we eat to die. Mm-hmm. Processed food is dead food. Dead mm-hmm. food does not make us healthy and help us in that goal of staying healthy and staying strong. So we eat living food. There's a reason why a healthy diet consists of plant-based mm-hmm. foods. When we were, you know, eons and eons ago, when man first showed up, I'm not going to go into the argument whether it was evolution or whether it was, you know,
caveman days,
or aliens dropped us in a pod from the sky. Who knows? You know, that's up to the individual. Uh-huh. But we were genetically coded as human beings to be compatible with that which is of the earth. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's why healthy food comes from the earth. That feeds us and it makes us strong. And that is why when we talk about herbal medicine or botanical medicine or ethnobotanical medicine, which I'm a big advocate of, preserving that throughout the world, those herbs and those plant-based medicines are compatible. The body goes, oh, I know what this is. I know what to do with this. I can use this. And so I think that's one of the reasons there has been in the past decade or so this groundswell of popularity in natural medicines. Okay, so I'm really delighted to have been a part of that for some time. But Jess, in answer to your long-winded answer to your question, my clients are concerned. They're really working hard not to be fearful at this stage because there's a lot of research that shows that fear and anxiety, these things have a markedly negative effect on our immune function.
Absolutely.
They lower our immunity and lower our resistance.
One of the things that I have talked to other people about in the past, and so it seems like a good way to bring this up, but we are vibrational energy.
Yes.
That's
yes.
all we are. So we vibrate at different speeds, for lack of a better word. And the higher the frequency, you know, the better. But when we have fear, we have anger, we have depression, we have anxiety, we have all of these kinds of more negative emotions, then our vibrational frequencies are lowered. And as a result, then the immune system is not at its optimal level, right?
Right. We're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
Exactly.
In our immune system foot.
Exactly.
When that happens. And fear feeds the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this morning a report. I don't remember who conducted the survey, but 1/3 of all Americans admit that they have high anxiety
right
during
now.
This COVID situation.
Yeah, sure.
And that's a particular concern to me because right now, cities and towns, communities are starting to slowly reopen. People are coming out. And the exposure is going to be greater. And if we've been huddled in our homes for a couple of months, feeling fearful, feeling frightened, worried and afraid, when we start venturing out again, our immune systems are going to be that much weaker.
Right. And I don't think people totally get that.
I agree with you.
I think they have said, I'm safe in my home and therefore. And then when they go out eventually, they think that they're just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so far from the truth. And I know a lot of people, in fact, that was something else I was watching a little bit this morning of, with seniors. You know, a lot of the people that I know that are over the age of 60, 65, definitely have been staying home. And so their immune system is usually not as great as somebody in their 20s or 30s anyways. So now we have a senior that's going out that has not been optimally programmed so that they feel like they're strong.
Very diplomatic of you.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I'm very concerned that the spike that we're going to see in people that are all of a sudden diagnosed with COVID-19, again, is skewed. It's skewed because they haven't done what they needed to do.
Right.
And they could have maybe called more often. You know, they could have. I saw a story about a nursing home that was so cool, where the staff made the decision to live there for 60 days. Did you see that?
Wasn't that impressive?
It was. And so they kept their, you know, residents, you know, safe, but they also didn't allow the fear, you know, to enter into it. They did everything that they could to keep them kind of up to date with their families and loved ones. And we do have Zoom, and not everybody knows how to use that. And we have Skype, and not everyone knows how to use that. But we have phones.
Yes.
You know, we can just stay in touch with a simple phone call, even if we can't see their faces.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I am seriously concerned that we've isolated so much that now we're going to go back out and contract it anyways because our immune system's in the toilet.
I agree with you. And not just COVID. There have been some renowned epidemiologists and immunologists who have said, look, okay, let's look at this in the big picture. Babies roll around on the floor. They put everything in their mouths. Well, they are constantly being exposed to fungi and pathogen and bacteria and things. And this is what flexes our immune muscles.
Exactly.
So our immune system is stronger as a result. When you are sterilizing every surface all day long, hypervigilant, you know, washing hands. I mean, I don't want to say the wrong thing here because it's important that we wash our hands, for God's sake. But, you know, when we are hypervigilant that way and living in this sterile bubble, our immune system has nothing to do.
Well,
it's not getting that workout that it needs.
Exactly,
daily.
Exactly. Plus, you've got contact. So your immune system goes down without hugs and without human touch.
Yes.
And so we've got that working against us. Plus, it is a well-known documented fact. If you can go to Mayo Clinic, you can go to Cleveland Clinic's website, you can go to WebMD. But a lot of the things that went flying off the shelves, the Lysols, the Pine Sols, they're horribly carcinogenic breathe those fumes in. And so I am willing to say that today on, you know, May the 28th, 2020, within the next 3 years, we're going to have the Morgan and Morgans of the world that will be taking class action suits against companies like Lysol, Pine Sol, whatever it is, because we've been using the heck out of them in our homes, and we're going to have a spike in lung cancers and other kinds of cancers because these products are known to be carcinogenic.
And also, taking that a step further, exposure to these carcinogenic substances while our immune system is weakened.
It's weakened, yeah.
It's like a double whammy. Sounds like we're in a big old pile of mess here, but you know what? I'm an optimist. I'm an eternal optimist. And I think that several good things are going to come out of this. One, people may have a heightened awareness of what they can do in their own lives. Simple things to stay healthy, to keep their children and their families well. You know, hand washing is a good thing. So I think that we're going to see some good things coming out of it. I'd like to see manufacturing come back to America on many different levels. That's going to be good for us eventually. So I see things calming down a bit, but I'm a little concerned about people getting lulled into this false sense of security. And don't even get me started on face masks. They really don't work. And I think if you are ill and you're having symptoms, first, you probably shouldn't be going out of your home. But if you are, that's the person that should be wearing the mask.
Right.
And I think many experts agree with that. But regardless, you know, this is America. We have the freedom to congregate with a bunch of people at a beach if we want to be that way. Or we can, you know, just have a more pragmatic, you know, approach and say, look, I know what I need to do in my life. The precautions I'm going to take, I'm not going to freak out. I'm just going to carry on with my life.
Right. One of the things that I've been doing personally is there's a park that's not very far from here, and I go for sunsets.
Beautiful.
And I take a lot of pictures while I'm there of just nature, because the park is full of it. You know, there's, in fact, I have found these spiritual orbs recently. So I have all kinds of orbs in this park that I believe are trying to send messages to
us. Phenomenal.
It's been, I never saw them before, and within the last probably 3-4 weeks. In fact, when I was there on Monday night, there were a lot of orbs there. So they're coming to talk about, you know, the future. And it's very interesting. I did some training for 2 years with a quantum physicist about how to work with energy. And so I know that that is an energetic soul.
Brilliant.
That's there. So it's very cool. But yeah, I mean, meditation, you know, is something that we can do to build our immune system. Getting in touch with heart coherence is another thing that we can do. And HeartMath Institute, for people who want to go there, they have a lot of research on how to stay healthy using meditation and using that heart coherence. So eating, certainly, you know, and you have a lot of recipes, I know, at your place because I saw them. So why don't you tell us, like, if I'm a customer and I walk in and I say, I need to figure out a way to build my immune system, what's one of the first things you would offer to them or suggest?
Well, it would be, well, I'm not a doctor. I don't prescribe. I don't diagnose and things like that. But I would have a conversation. I think one of the first things I might ask is, how much water are you drinking in a day? We are mostly water.
What is it, like 96% or something?
Yes, it's a very high number, and we need that water to help nutrients flow in and out of cells. They work with all the minerals and electrolytes in the body. I'm not going to get down to the weeds with all the technical stuff. But it really, dehydration is vitally important. Without proper apple hydration is important. Dehydration is bad. If we are dehydrated, our cells can absorb the nutrients and transport them like they need to throughout the body. But also our pH has a tendency to turn acidic. Right. And once your pH is acidic and not alkaline like it's supposed to be, that opens the door to pathogen, bacteria, you name it. Mm-hmm. And that sets the stage for all sorts of problems. And then if you add on to that someone that might be a big coffee drinker or sweet tea drinker, when you're adding caffeine into the mix, or if you add alcohol into the mix, sugar into the mix, we're talking a real pH problem. And most people don't think about that. So to me, that's kind of foundational. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about diet, that's another conversation we could have. We eat to live or we eat to die. We want fresh whole foods. Half of every meal should be vegetables. Mm-hmm. And God gave us many, many, many vegetables to choose from. So we don't have to get into a rut and get bored that way. So that's foundational.
What about people, I'm going to interrupt for just a second, but people that say, I can't have a lot of vegetables because, and maybe they say because they're high in carbohydrates. Okay. So you have these two divisions of ones that are lower and maybe a little healthier and ones that are higher, like corn.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
And I had a granddaughter. I still have her, but
okay,
when she was very young, she was a carb city freak. And so we would go out and she would want, you know, like a big maybe dish of corn because she loved corn, and then she would want something like mac and cheese, or she would want fettuccine alfredo. Mm-hmm. And so that's where she was coming from at that point, right, in her life. But how do you address that with somebody that, you know, says, okay, half of my plate should be veggies, but I can't, my doctor tells me that I should be staying away from carbs?
Okay, well, there are good carbs and there are bad carbs.
Uh-huh.
Vegetables carry nutrients, minerals, and vitamins, and things that our bodies need to function properly. And we do need some carbohydrates for mm-hmm. energy. If we're going to exercise or go for a long walk or a run or a bike ride, the first thing our body burns for energy is carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have enough carbohydrates, the body starts burning lean muscle tissue.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to go there.
No.
So it's about balance. It's, you know, balance is the essence of health. Okay, bad carbohydrate, a bagel, a donut, a candy bar, a big old slice of pecan pie. Those are not good carbohydrates. But I think as a, you know, in a general rule, if we can seek balance in our lives, you know, the 90% rule, 90% of everything that goes in the portal in the front of the face is healthy, right?
Right.
I think we all intrinsically know what is healthy food and what is not. Okay, 90% of everything that goes there, great, good choices. That 10%, you want the slice of pie, you want the glass of wine, you want the bagel, have it. Be happy. But it's about balance and it's about moderation. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, if someone were to say to me, I can't eat vegetables because they're too high in carbohydrates, I'd say, well, you know, this is America. It's your choice. It's your choice to eat what you wish. If you choose to eat vegetables, chances are you're going to be healthier than if you choose to forego vegetables in favor of that piece of cake.
Well, so. And even a lot of fruit. I mean, I eat a lot of fruit, mm-hmm. and I eat a lot of veggies. And I realize, you know, the carbs are right, even in fruit. And some mm-hmm. fruits hold more carbs than others.
They do.
So there are lists that mm-hmm. people can print out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, then they could maybe have some of the veggies, like a vegetarian that's strictly eating veggies. I'm sure their plate has potatoes or mac and cheese or beans and rice or something on there. But they may also have green beans, asparagus, peas, you know.
Oh, there's other so things. many things to choose from. So it's about balance, and we can make our diet interesting mm-hmm. with just choosing different ways to cook things. I'm not an advocate of microwave use. In fact, I think a microwave makes a perfect bread box because it's airtight. But microwaving damages the molecular structure of food. So if you microwave food, you're killing the food mm-hmm. and killing the nutrients. Mm-hmm. So, but still,
steaming.
There's a lot of ways to cook healthy and bright and fresh and wonderful and get used to it and learn to enjoy it. Cooking, I grew up in a big family. I had 5 brothers and sisters. I mean, mealtime was a big deal. We were all together sharing our stories. We pitched in. We all made the meal together. It's just such wonderful, warm memories. And
what was your favorite meal to make as a family?
Oh, I don't know. Gosh, that's a tough question. My mom and my dad were both excellent cooks. My mom's still with us. My God, my dad, God rest his soul, is not. But my father could make a mean lamb roast.
Mm.
I mean, like, you couldn't even imagine. And that, I think, growing up was one of my favorites. I still love lamb. Okay, don't write me that I'm killing baby, you know, whatevers, but it's actually a very digestible uh-huh. protein for the uh-huh. human body. I'm not a huge meat eater, uh-huh. but when I do, I go for something lean and wonderful. It's, again, it's about balance.
Seafood?
I do like seafood. I'm not a fan of, I like fish. I'm not uh-huh. a fan of crustaceans. Uh-huh. You know, the shrimp.
I have a friend that wanted to fix live lobster, and I said, I can't do that.
Because
they're going to try to crawl out of that pot, and I understand they scream. And I said I wouldn't be able to eat them.
I've always said, if I win the lottery, the first thing I'm going to do is every grocery store in my town, buy all those live lobsters and go set them free. So, but, you know, there's so many ways to have a fresh, healthy whole foods diet. You know, grains are okay. Gluten, some people have issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look at. If a person suspects they might have a gluten sensitivity, then they should just stay off of it rapidly for 3 months, 2 to 3 months. And if you feel better, then you're onto something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a diagnosis of celiac, celiac is only one of the over 300 different symptoms of gluten sensitivity. So you could test negative for celiac, but still have a horrible, even possibly fatal allergic reaction to gluten. So that's something that we're talking about a lot more, and people coming to realize that, well, you know, our diets, especially for children, are really gluten-based,
uh-huh.
carbohydrate-based,
uh-huh.
and that it creates a lot of health problems in the long run. So again, foundational, good, healthy whole foods diet, plenty of water. And then we start talking about things like a good multivitamin,
uh-huh.
because that multivitamin is going to fill in any of those little gaps in the diet.
Right.
Even the federal government has come out and said everyone should be taking a multivitamin.
Isn't that surprising?
But really, that does surprise me. But it's a wonderful thing. And not all multivitamins are you know, made the same.
No.
Products you find in, you know, drugstores and big box stores, you have to kind of consider the source and consider the price. They use a lot of synthetic nutrients.
Uh-huh.
It's like, excuse me, you could eat a paper plate if you had to, but how in the world are you going to extract any nutrition from that?
Exactly.
So we want things that are compatible, whole food space that our body recognizes and knows what to do with and can metabolize properly. So I think of it as a multivitamin, multimineral, absolutely foundational. And then we can talk about essential fatty acids. These are the good fats, and we should be getting plenty of good fats in our daily diet.
So the olive oils, the coconut oil.
Olive oil, coconut oil, avocado is mm-hmm. such a perfect, wonderful food.
Do you know
food.
What I found at Sprouts, for those that are here in this area? I had not seen it before in other stores, but I could have just missed it. But they have actually avocado oil in a spray.
Nice.
That you can use, you know, instead of spraying butter or, you mm-hmm. know, putting butter in, mm-hmm. you could actually saute vegetables with avocado
oil. You could. But something to remember is heat damages essential fatty acids.
Oh, that's true.
So maybe you could spray your salad with avocado oil and a little bit of fresh lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great way to do that. Yeah, not raw nuts and seeds, and we say raw because if you dry roast a nut, the heat kills the essential fatty acid. I mean, it's still a decent snack because it's got protein and fiber and things
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh.
But focusing on incorporating a lot of good fats in the diet is important. And then beyond that, you know, things that are getting a lot of buzz right now during the COVID-19 pandemic
uh-huh.
are things like vitamin D3.
Yep.
You know, optimally, we would get it from 15 minutes of exposure to our face and neck and arms a day from the sun. There's something going on because even we here in Florida are notoriously deficient in vitamin D.
Well, I can kind of address that
okay.
a little bit. And especially for those of us in Florida, but any part of the world where there's humidity, is in the wintertime, I think people probably are out far more than they are starting now until
mm-hmm.
the end of November. Most people are not that comfortable with baking in our sun with 75% humidity. And so our cars are air conditioned,
mm-hmm.
our homes are air conditioned, our buildings are air conditioned. And we go as quickly as we can from an air conditioned car into a air conditioned store to do
yep.
what we need to do.
You got that right.
So for 15 minutes or 20 minutes of direct exposure, if you did do that and you were working, you're not going to be smelling very good by the time you come back in.
That's right.
And so people just actually don't get that exposure. We simply don't.
Unfortunately.
The other part of it is that we have been trained over the last, I would say, 10 years in particular, to have sunscreen on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got sunscreen on, you haven't done what you need to do anyways, which mm-hmm. was to be on bare skin.
Exactly.
So,
and certain chemicals in sunscreens actually work against us in terms of being carcinogenic.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very harmful. So it's like people are, I don't know, it's like we're blinded by what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times the advertisers are selling to the ABCs and the CBSs and the NBCs and
mm-hmm.
CNNs and whatever. I mean, the advertisers are indoctrinating people to think
mm-hmm.
that they're safe by using these things, which mm-hmm. in reality, they're really not.
Well, when we're talking about advertising, it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
it
about
is.
The money. I mean, it just makes me so, ooh, when I see these food companies marketing really bad food directly to children, and the commercials are on during cartoons and things like that.
Yeah.
It's so
well, you've
it's
seen the little guys, you know,
opinion.
Run down the aisle, especially the cereal aisle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and go to pull something off, and maybe mom or dad is saying, you know, no, that's not the one we're going to get, and they have a full blown fit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's
right.
the one they want.
Right. I used to have a juice bar at one of my stores, and I had a sign that was permanently there above the menu board. It was a Fran Lebowitz quote. And it said, ask your child what he wants for dinner only if he's buying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Parents have to be parents.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I digress. Vitamin D. There are certain food sources, you know, but I think we really need to look at supplementing.
Yes.
And there's a research that was just done specific to COVID-19 that showed that a vitamin D deficiency leads to higher mortality rates and worse symptomatic
mm-hmm.
Situations
mm-hmm.
with the COVID. But it is a fat-soluble nutrient, so we don't want to go crazy and overdo it. The best way for me, in my opinion, is to, you can have a blood, have when you have your blood work, make sure your doctor checks your vitamin D levels. I don't know why they don't routinely do that with a CBC, but they don't. So you have to request that. But to take 1,000 IUs or milligrams, they're kind of being weighed in different ways right now, but 1,000 IUs of vitamin D3 a day. Is
now,
a good choice.
I will tell you that I use 10,000.
Do you? Well, you've been shown to have a deficiency through your blood work?
No.
Intuitively?
Yeah. I do it intuitively.
Of course.
And when I had my labs done in February, you actually want your number to be 70 or greater
mm-hmm.
in order to be healthy against viruses. Mine is an 82.
Perfect.
So I'm right where I need to be.
See,
and
your intuition will never fail you.
No, no. And so, and yet I have a dear friend who plays golf, walks, everything else. And the last time he did his, it was 43. So I have him using 10,000. I
Brilliant.
Said, you need to be getting this up.
Brilliant.
Because he was going to have some work done by a dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, no way. I do not want them doing anything to you because there's nothing wrong with you to begin with. But I don't want them doing anything until we have your immune system where it needs to be, because that will attract, you know, other complications and you will not heal as well.
Yes. And there's also a connection between vitamin D and breast cancer.
Yes.
Research mm-hmm. shows that the majority of women diagnosed with breast cancer have a vitamin D deficiency.
Uh-huh.
And those that were in the group that were with the clinical research, where they brought their levels up to where they needed to be, were like 80% more likely to survive the breast cancer.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
D is important. We need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to garden. I don't wear sunscreen when I garden because I'm
mm-hmm.
out of the garden in this heat for maybe 30 or 45 minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm good with that. Grow your vegetables. That's how we should get our vitamin D, right?
That's
Everybody
true.
Needs to grow their own food.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Good old vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an antioxidant.
Do you do a time release?
When we talk about time release, that's usually, it's in a tablet form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pressed
mm-hmm.
and it dissolves more slowly than a capsule would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an advocate of a reasonable dose throughout the day.
Okay.
As opposed to hitting it all at once. Vitamin C, like your B vitamins, they're water soluble.
Right.
So your cells can only absorb so much at any given time. So I like doing, you know, 500 or 1,000 milligrams of C
mm-hmm.
three times a day, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Take it with food. There are, I prefer a buffered or esterified version of vitamin C. It's got a neutral pH. Because vitamin C, by nature, what it is ascorbic acid. So it can be acidic in the body when we were talking about pH, right? We don't want to skew that. So if you go with a buffered or neutral version, it's called sodium ascorbate. And there's a brand called Ester-C, been on the market for many years.
I've seen it.
I like that because you want to go with a neutral pH.
What about people that, when we're talking about pH, that drink pH water? You know, they can pick it up at Sprouts, a gallon or two. Does that make a difference in reality or not?
Well, I haven't seen any research that would indicate, but I think it's probably a good thing. Why not? These are, when we talk about a pH water, all it is water with electrolytes or minerals are electrolytes. They're little sparks that are used in many hundreds of different metabolic processes in the body. Magnesium, of which is a very important
and
one.
Potassium, that exactly. is, those two are
so important. And then the kind of the problem I have with some of those waters is, unless they're actually disclosing on the label, okay, it's got this many milligrams of magnesium, potassium, sodium, whatever, you don't really know what they've used to raise that pH. So I'm a fan of spring water. Water that comes out of the ground and is bottled at the source is perfect.
Like Zephyr Hills.
Zephyr Hills, it's a little high in sodium, but I like Mountain Valley. It comes from Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's my all-time favorite. Poland Springs, but I love the natural mineral waters as opposed to, oh, we're going to diddle with this pH and sell it to you for a lot of money. But again, if that's what works for somebody, that's probably what they should do.
That's interesting. I have read, and I can't quote the source right now, but I have read that you should not drink any kind of pH water with your meals. And the reason being is that you need that acid to help digest your food.
I agree.
So drink it throughout the day, but not exactly with your meals.
There are many cultures where they drink no water or no liquids really at a mealtime because that dilutes the digestive juices that
I'm
you
all
need
about
to
a glass
break your
of wine
food
with
in.
Meal.
Well, there's acidity to it, and
right,
it aids digestion.
Right.
It's medicinal use
right.
only. We love our medicinal use only. So anyway, we're coming back to vitamin C, neutral pH. Vitamin C, being an antioxidant, is very important for fighting free radicals. And let's face it, if we're stressed out and anxious and fearful about COVID, we're just chock full of free radicals because it creates extra. So the vitamin C, I love orange. I start every day with an orange. But that's not my only source of vitamin C for the day. And so we have to kind of keep a reasonable idea.
What about lemon juice?
How many
people
milligrams?
That you know say that they swear by having their vitamin C through lemon juice.
I don't think it's a high enough, you know, milligram of vitamin C. But there's a couple things we love about lemon juice. It's incredibly alkaline. It's alkaline. And also the liver loves lemon. It is very good for supporting liver function. And it does have some minerals and electrolytes and things in there. It's a great way to start the day too. Big glass of room temperature
water with fresh
squeezed lemon. Don't use the squeezy things in the plastic bottles. People just amaze me sometimes. When a citrus is packaged for sale as a juice in a grocery store, they have to pasteurize it by law to kill bacteria. So once you cook citrus fruits, they become instant acid in the body.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think a lot of people don't know that.
All right.
So does it take a full lemon every day or like a half a lemon?
I like a half a lemon at a time myself. Or if I can get my hands on organic lemons, I'll just, you know, squeeze that and drop the whole half a lemon in my container of water and just keep filling it up with water till I can't taste
like
the lemon anymore.
Well, it's like a diffuser.
It just goes.
That works.
So, C is important. On the list of other important things, I think a B vitamin right now, because everybody is so, I can't say everybody, but many people are so stressed out. And those B vitamins, it's just like our body just throws them off when we're stressed and worried. So a good B vitamin.
A
B complex, absolutely. You know, the B12 and the singular Bs, I think over and above taking your B complex, sure, why not? If you need the extra energy, if you've got brain fog, few things beat B12 for brain fog. But taking single bees can skew the levels of your other bees. Mm-hmm. So it's important to take a complex. And something to remember also, as we age, our ability to absorb and utilize the B vitamins from our food can really dramatically diminish. So mm-hmm. I like a good high potency multivitamin, and I rely on my multi for that good B complex and array and balance of the nutrients. Bee mm-hmm. pollen is a very good source of B vitamins too.
Oh,
nature's pun. Nice. Bee yeah. pollen?
Bee pollen.
Bee vitamins?
Right.
If I have to explain it, it's not a pun. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's another good source. And it's a good source of energy, too. Mm-hmm. And something we also have to remember when we were talking about kids before and their diets, when we feed children those carbohydrates and sugars, that really lowers our store of B vitamins. And it really prevents them from learning and having their brain
so
function at optimal capacity.
What is the reason that that happens?
Scientifically?
Well, to a minimal, I guess. But I think people need to understand that a little bit. And let me share a story, and because this was very interesting. Manitowoc Ovens, have you ever heard of them? They're in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And the man who owned that particular company made what he called brainy bagels and dropped them off at the schools. They were the little bitty bagels for
okay.
kids. But they were a complex. It wasn't like a white bagel. Mm-hmm. It was a multigrain.
Mm-hmm.
And what he wanted to find out is so many kids, if they were in reading class, maybe around 10 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
they would have an energy slump.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't focused. And if you don't learn reading skills, you're going to struggle the rest of your life,
of course.
You know, with learning. And so his premise was that he would drop these brainy bagels off to some local schools, and they would figure out through testing how the scores went. And they climbed enormously, enormously, because the complex, I guess, recipe, mm-hmm. so that it wasn't just pure low white bread
right.
kind of things.
And probably high fiber, because fiber
high,
offsets
yeah.
the carbohydrates.
Right. They allowed these kiddos that maybe had sugary breakfast cereals mm-hmm. at 7:30 in the morning. Now they had something that their brains could actually benefit from
exactly.
until lunchtime. So it was
exactly.
very, very interesting how
that's
that was
brilliant.
Working.
I mm-hmm. think they should do that everywhere. Brainy bagels.
Brainy bagels.
Snack time
and it was
at school.
Just little ones. It wasn't
perfect.
Like a great big
right.
bagel. But
right.
it worked
a,
very, very
dose.
Well for the kids in Wisconsin.
That's brilliant. I like that. B-complex.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pull it out of my head right now as to why sugar and stress actually rid your body of
mm-hmm.
the B vitamins.
Well, stress creates huge inflammation throughout
oh, yes.
your body. And
mm-hmm.
all disease, we know, comes from inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anything you can do, you know, back to meditation or walks in
sure.
nature or something just to reduce that stress level.
Right, exactly. And that's super important right
mm-hmm.
now. Yoga, Tai Chi,
mm-hmm.
you know, riding your bicycle, you know, jumping on a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that
lymphatic
trampoline.
You
know,
yeah.
It's amazing for lymphatic function.
It is. It absolutely
keeps us clean.
Is.
So, again, foundational stuff. That's kind of pretty basic there. There's something that I want to talk about because I know you've got your boomer crowd and
mm-hmm.
N-acetylcysteine.
Okay.
Have you talked about that before on your show?
I have not.
N-acetylcysteine is an amino acid, and it's a precursor to glutathione in the body. And glutathione is one of the most potent detoxification mechanisms that the body has.
Mm-hmm.
Very high concentrations of glutathione in the lungs and the liver. And there is a doctor out of Seattle, Washington. I forgot the name of the study, but he is. They're getting ready to launch a study specific to COVID using N-acetylcysteine, or NAC for short, combined with a drug. I'm not sure what the drug is, but the medical establishment looks at NAC as a drug. It's
really?
Clear, it's cleared
okay.
as a drug by the FDA, but I sell it in my apothecary.
Uh-huh.
It's a simple amino acid, but they've used NAC in inhalers for asthmatics as a bronchodilator for many, many, many years. NAC is also, they have used it as an antidote for certain poisonous substances that affect specific to liver function.
Mm.
So NAC is wonderful, but it's also anti-aging.
Uh-huh.
It's a sulfur-based amino, powerfully antioxidant. It is just, it's phenomenal. And it's something I've taken every day for years. And right now with what's been going on, because it's affinity for lung tissue and lung function, I think you can't go wrong doing that right now.
Now, are you using it as a spray or
As a supplement.
As a supplement in a capsule.
In a capsule form.
Okay. A lot of people don't know that an amino acid is a basic building block. And so when you take anything that's in amino acid form, the body can utilize it instantly to repair itself.
Exactly.
And that's why it's so important.
And you know, you take this amino and that amino, so you make that amino.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful cascade.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, just the brilliance of the human organism,
mm-hmm.
the amazing, miraculous creatures that we are. So I love NAC. It's also clients with COPD, they start NAC supplementation. Within 2 weeks, they report their symptoms are 50% reduced.
Wow.
It's big.
That is huge.
And there is research going back 50 years into using N-acetylcysteine.
So what do you think the reason that we don't hear much about that? Because instead, they put them on medications that have 20 other side effects.
Sure. Simple answer.
Money.
It's basically a food. It's
okay.
a natural substance,
mm-hmm.
and it cannot be patented.
Ah, okay.
That's it. Same thing with proteolytic enzymes. I don't want to digress. I'm not sure how much time we have.
We got
a lot. Proteolytic enzymes. These are enzymes. We talk about, you know, digestion, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amylase and protease and catalase and lipase. And we have different enzymes that our body produces in the digestive tract
mm-hmm.
to digest fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. How many people do you know taking the medications for reflux or GERD?
Oh, sure.
Lots.
Prilosec is big.
Exactly. Well, what's happening there, the body is going, oh my gosh, I don't have enough enzymes anymore. My little bank account of digestive enzymes ran low, so I have to overproduce the acid now to accomplish the digestive process.
Right.
Okay. So the body is in hyperdrive, trying to do what it was designed to do. So then you're going to take a medication to tell the body, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever been cured from taking those PPIs? No. The doctor will tell you it's for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about this? You take digestive enzymes at every meal.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting back in those enzymes the body knows it's supposed to have. It goes, oh, wow, there's so many enzymes here at the party. I don't have to make so much acid.
Right.
It's brilliant. And they're just enzymes. They're extracted from foods and things like that.
Right.
And so those are digestive enzymes. Now, when we talk about inflammation, I'm really glad you brought that up because that is such an important point for people to understand. And their foods cause inflammation.
Exactly.
Certain things do as well, and stress and fear and anxiety. Okay, so proteolytic enzymes, they're also called systemic enzymes, meaning they go systemically throughout the body, not just used up in the digestive tract. You take them on an empty stomach. These enzymes are so incredible. They're like heat-seeking missiles. They go straight to wherever there's heat and inflammation in the body, reduce it, get rid of it.
Hmm.
Phenomenal. Somebody
that has like rheumatoid arthritis, if they were eating the right kinds of foods or taking the right enzymes, they could also reduce that pain.
Yes. There has been a lot of research into the use of proteolytic enzymes for everything from cancer to autoimmune disorders to you name it. There's a really specific enzyme that I'm really excited about lately. It's called natokinase. And this is sourced from natto, which is a fermented soy food product. Comes to us from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of their daily diet, but it kind of smells like dirty feet. So, you know, it's not part of my daily diet. I'm happy to take the natokinase. Quick story on this. I have a client who, she came in, she had just been diagnosed with an aortal aneurysm.
Wow.
Which is the widowmaker, right?
Sure.
A cholesterol.
And that normally happens with men, not women.
Exactly. Fortunately, she'd had a CT scan for something unrelated, and they discovered it. So that was...
Why, her angels were watching
out
for her.
Oh, my gosh. They carried her all the way through and right into my store.
Right.
Because she... And her cholesterol was elevated, and her arterial plaque, they did the carotid artery check, it was rated at moderate to severe.
Wow.
So she had a lot going on in her cardiovascular system. They wanted to prescribe lots of drugs. She's a retired nurse. And she chose not to take the drugs. And she came to me and I said, well, Karen, there's a lot of research into this. I want you to go look into this and you tell me if this resonates with you. Because I can't say, yeah, take this, it'll cure that. No, then I go to jail and I'm not going to want to do that. So I encouraged her to do the research and she did. She started the natokinase. She took it every day for 4 months. She had a follow-up CT scan. The aneurysm was gone. Her cholesterol was down 55 points, and her arterial plaque was measured negligible Negligible.
Really?
Negligible. Gone. And this is what these enzymes do. They gobble up fibrin, and fibrin...
So it's like a Pac-Man.
Exactly. I use that analogy a lot.
Uh-huh.
And these enzymes, like these little Pac-Man, they're going through your vascular system, and they're gobbling up fibrin. And fibrin, or fibrinogen, these are floating bits of protein
uh-huh.
that stick to damaged areas of the vascular wall.
Right.
And then what sticks to the fibrin? The cholesterol.
Right.
So that's why there's kind of this, in my opinion, misguided idea that high cholesterol causes cardiovascular disease.
No,
it's high inflammation.
Yes.
Because the cholesterol needs that mortar
right.
to stick to, and it's fibrin.
Right.
So if you go in and clean out that fibrin, bada boom.
Yeah. One of the things that I've shared with a number of people that I talk with, you know, on the show and stuff, is that if your arteries have flexibility, and usually flexibility can be restored with, it's a product called resveratrol.
Mm-hmm.
So resveratrol increases the flexibility in the arterial walls. And so the blood flow as it's coming through can do less damage,
mm-hmm.
free radical damage,
yes.
which are those little tiny microscopic tears. And that's where the plaque
oh, yeah.
builds up. So
yeah.
you can handle that. As we get past 40, the arterial walls get more rigid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the blood flow does the damage. So flexibility is important, and resveratrol, muscadine resveratrol.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Lucy. Another thing that's good for that, good old vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vascular system is mostly collagen.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we age, we start losing our collagen.
Oh, yes.
And it's not just on the surface, it's in our vascular
yeah,
system.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons that reduced collagen leads to those firming of the vascular walls. And so vitamin C produces collagen. Grapeseed extract produces
mm-hmm,
collagen.
Mm-hmm.
You can even take collagen now. And not only does it help you retain your youthful look, but it also keeps your vascular system and your heart health young too.
Right.
We love that.
Right. They have it in, you know, powder form,
mm-hmm.
But it's great for hair. It's great for your
yes.
fingernails.
Joints.
And joints. Yeah.
Yes.
All of those things.
It's a good thing.
It is.
And it's so funny. I see all these advertisements for bone broth. Everybody needs to drink their bone broth. Well, when I was growing up, we called it chicken stock or beef stock. You know?
I think they still do.
Yeah. And so, you know, rather than pay a ton of money at the store for this powder that you're going to mix into water that you don't know what it's going to taste like, just get an organic chicken and make stock and put a little bit of vinegar in there, because as the stock is cooking, you're cooking down those bones in the carcass, the vinegar helps break down the collagen so that it's suspended.
Now, can you freeze that?
Yeah, I freeze it all the time.
Okay, I thought you could. I've never, you know, normally if I'm doing that, I'm making turkey soup or chicken soup or something like that,
yeah.
and I'll freeze the soup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't last all that long because it's good.
You
know,
there you go. And it should.
It's healthy
to
eat.
I like to have chicken stock in my freezer at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So those are important things to help with the vascular system. And, you know, just to put a finer point on the enzymes, again, there's so much information and research out there.
You know, I'm going to go back to the chicken stock for a minute.
Okay.
You probably know this. But I saw this on a cooking show once, and I thought, that is so smart. Our Ziploc bags, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you have the old-fashioned ice cube trays, and pour your chicken stock, maybe with some seasoning, garlic,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want in there,
mm-hmm.
into the ice cube trays, freeze it, pop them out, put them in a Ziploc bag, and then you can take the number of ice cubes that are actually broth
mm-hmm.
and put them in wherever you need to put them.
Exactly.
And I thought that was so clever.
I have to admit I do that.
Do you?
Because
okay.
I like to make, you know, different sauces, or when I'm cooking
mm-hmm.
quinoa or brown rice, I always
mm-hmm.
like to add a little bit of chicken stock to that
uh-huh.
to give it
I'm going
to
come eat at your
in.
House.
Anytime. You have a standing invitation to come and eat at my house. I do a lot of things with ice cube trays. Elderberry. I'll make
mm-hmm.
a big batch of elderberry tea, and I'll freeze that in ice cube trays. So next time you happen to need some elderberry, like right now, I don't want to wait an hour to cook
right,
some up and boil
right.
up some berries. I'll just grab it out of the freezer. Another one I freeze a lot is Biden's Pelosa. This is...
What
I'm
is that?
So... I love Biden. It's called Spanish needles.
Hmm.
You ever walk... You know, people that walk their dogs, they'll mm-hmm. go through yards or parks or whatever, and they wind up with all these little stickers on them, these little
mm-hmm.
prickly...
Mm-hmm.
They look like little slivers of wood. That's called Spanish needles, or beggar's tick, or farmer's friend. This plant is so amazing. It grows virtually everywhere in the world. High desert, lowlands, woodlands, everywhere in Florida. Everyone's yard is full of it. And people think it's a weed. And it breaks my heart. Because Bidens pilosa, Spanish needles, has been scientifically proven to kill MRSA.
Oh, wow.
It kills C. diff.
No C-diff, rather. Kidding.
And it is powerfully antimicrobial. Powerfully against all these different superbugs.
So God gave us it everywhere, and we don't even know what it is.
Exactly. And it's everywhere because he wants us to notice it. Mm-hmm. It's like, people, open your eyes. There's Bidens pilosa everywhere. It's good for any kind of oral abscesses, you know, gum problems.
Wow.
You drink it. It's
so
just,
you have it as a tea?
Yes. I make it as a tea. I also make it as a tincture. The research shows that the microbial aspects are more powerful when it's a fresh plant tincture. But I wild harvest it all the time. Now, I don't want people to go near the side of the road and start harvesting your Bidens because there's pollution. So you want to go into a park setting or maybe your backyard where there's no cars going by.
So do
you
sell it if they came into your store?
I don't. You know what I do? We walk outside my store and I show them
what it looks
because
like.
It's growing everywhere.
Do they need
go
to
harvest
do,
your Bidens?
Yeah. Do they need to cure it in any way before they use it?
No. I just pick it fresh. I don't even wash it because it's going into boiling water.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I cut it at the bottom of the stem. I don't pull it by the root because I want the plant to survive.
Sure,
I just
survive.
Harvest.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whether they're seeds, the flower heads, they look like a little tiny daisy. I think everybody's seen it. They just don't know what they're looking at.
You and I are going to go look for some because I'll harvest
it. Oh, my
it.
Gosh. And then I just take a scissors and I cut them into little one-inch lengths and put that in a pot of simmering water.
And then you freeze the ice cube.
Simmer it 10 or 15 minutes. Let it cool. Strain it. Put it in ice cube trays. It's really a wonderful plant. I
How
love it.
How awesome is
I
that?
It.
I love the fact that we are sharing this kind of
yeah,
stuff
there
with
you
people.
Go.
So.
Yeah. Plants are amazing, and they're going to tell us what they're used for. We just have to open our eyes to it.
Hmm. So. Thistles.
Milk thistle specifically?
Well,
thistle
I took a picture of a thistle at this park that I go to, and, you know, they're... Some of are more beautiful than others, but do they have medicinal qualities? I would think they would.
Well, there are some plants that actually look like thistles. Burdock, I believe, the flower, it's kind of a funny-shaped little thing. It's kind of thistle-like. I can't speak for all species of thistle, but I could make an assumption that perhaps, you know, we know of milk thistle specifically, you know, the one that kind of makes the milkweed and blows away and all that.
Right.
Very powerful for the liver, very wonderful for even treating cirrhosis of the liver.
So if somebody were to come into your shop over in Safety Harbor and, you know, they came, you know, with their understanding of diet and water consumption and basic vitamins, then could you take their particular condition and begin to show them things that are in your store that would help, or would you send them home to do the research like you did your friend, and then come back and let's talk about what you want to...
It depends on how much time they have on their hands, because I have a vast library of health books, natural health and botanical healing books in my shop. If they've got time, I'll sit them down with a book.
Okay.
Read about it, because I can't prescribe, and that puts
me
into that area. And besides, knowledge is power.
It is.
If I just say, hey, this is what you need, go take that, it robs them of the opportunity to gain in wisdom. And that's how we help ourselves and our communities and our families, is by gaining wisdom and knowledge.
Years ago, you had a shaman, you know, that taught the tribe, so to speak. Or you had, I think some of them were considered to be witches. But they were
the medicine women.
The medicine women,
I'm proud
you're
to be one.
You're a modern day one.
But in the state of Florida, I'm a shop girl.
Yeah.
I'm just a shop girl. And I do love sharing information. That's probably the most exciting aspect of my job. And in my shop, being an apothecary, I have literally 300 different single herbs. And I love sitting people down with the book and say, okay, what of this list might resonate with you? And then I will make them a tea formula. Of all these different herbs. I have some house formulas, you know, that help with mucus and congestion.
One?
It's going to sound crazy. I like funny names. Mucus Begone.
Well, I'll tell you what. With the I wake up every morning as the, I guess, humidity rises and as our pollen has been going up. And for the first hour, you know, I'm clearing my throat because mm-hmm. I have a lot of sinus.
Well, I put a formula together a number of years ago for a client, and mm-hmm. they loved it. She came back 2 days later and said, I don't know what was in that, but my mucus problem is completely gone. Mm. I have people with allergies use it routinely and daily. And being herbal, and there's all simple, gentle herbs in there, so it's perfectly safe for daily use. But some of them might have an upper respiratory thing going on, little even ear congestion to mm-hmm. an extent.
How about tinnitus?
I've put herbs in there.
Has anybody ever come in with that?
Tinnitus, yes, that's kind of a tough one.
Yeah.
Because a lot of tinnitus is actually caused by earwax buildup. And I don't have an herb that's going to go suck that wax out of your ear.
Yeah, it's going to be a doctor.
Candles. But yes, that does require a medical treatment or intervention in that part. But there are other things that can cause tinnitus, you know, lack of blood flow to the head, and certain things like coenzyme Q10 can help with that, hawthorn berry, things like that. But I know we're getting low on time, but before we wrap it up, I wanted to share something really quickly with you.
Uh-huh.
We talked about Biden's pilosa. Spanish needles, and we talked about certain things that people can do for COVID during this COVID pandemic. There's a web-based newspaper mm-hmm. in Safety Harbor called The Safety Harbor Sun. I write for them, and I've got an article on Biden's pilosa that cites all the different scientific studies, so you can click and go read the study if you want to. And I also did an article called A Wellness Wake-Up Call that goes over a lot of things we talked about today and then some.
Okay.
In terms of supplements and strategies that we can embrace
to stay healthy. And the name of the paper again is?
The Safety Harbor Sun. It's a wonderful publication started by a brilliant woman named Kathy Malaxos, and it doesn't get political and, you know, go one way or the other. It's all about the facts. And that's why I cite all of the studies that I quote in my
research. So the Safety Harbor Sun, S-U-N.
S-U-N.
.com.
I think it's .com. Maybe it's .org. Oh, I'm not sure. Now I'm going to be in trouble.
Well, they could maybe try either one. If they didn't get it with one, they could get it with the other.
Thanks for letting me plug that.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you want to share a couple of the websites real quickly as
we
wrap up?
I did, because there could be a lot of confusion. You know, popularity can breed confusion. And so... I don't like people, my neighbor said I should take this, and uh-huh. my aunt said I should take that. Do the research, folks, right? A couple of really good places. Dr. Duke, his phytochemical and ethnobotanical database.
Duke?
He's one of the premier herbalists the world's ever seen. He's passed on now. But the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, he developed a database for them.
Awesome.
And you'd have to Google Dr. Duke Phytochemical and Ethnobotanical Database, because it's the actual link is too long for me to even say right now.
Uh-huh.
Another one is botanical.com.
Okay.
BOTANICAL.com. This is Maud Grieve, Mrs. Maud Grieve, Grieve, renowned herbalist. She wrote the first comprehensive book called The Modern Herbal back in the 1930s.
Oh my gosh.
And
wow.
She talks about different, you know, historic, you know, uses and tradition, and her website is rich with information, and all the herbs are listed alphabetically. So botanical.com is one of my favorites. It's kind of like sitting down with a cup of tea and a hug from someone that knows a lot about plants. And then there's also the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Medicine. This is under the NIH, so it's a federal agency. NICCH. They do a lot of research into natural products and medicinal herbs and things, and they post their research there as well. So I'm all about the science.
Yeah.
I do a lot of intuitive work too, but I'm all about the science, and I think that, again, knowledge is power, and I want people to embrace their commitment to their health.
Right, and that is probably the most important thing that listeners need to understand, is that we as human beings have to take responsibility for ourselves. We cannot advocate to somebody else mm-hmm. to fix me, because if we're not willing to do the work to fix ourselves, then we need to suffer the consequences. It's you know, as basic as that. You know, you don't put your hand on a hot stove more than once.
Right.
And
we
then
shouldn't anyway.
We shouldn't.
We have to own it. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
This is our body. This is our gift. Mm-hmm. We have to take care of it. And it's our job to teach our children how to take care of their bodies too.
Exactly. Well, I loved having you as my guest. And I know that you're going to be back in the future. So
I'd love to.
So exciting. One of the things that I'm going to do for everybody out there is I'll take these websites and put them in the synopsis that will be on synergyconnectionradio.com. So you'll be able to go to the links directly from that synopsis, and That way you can more easily find the information that Julie's been talking about. So again, thank you so much for joining me today. And if anyone out there has listened to today's show and really believes, as I do, about the importance of taking responsibility for our own health, then go to synergyconnectionradio.com and listen to the show again, or send it to people that you feel would benefit from listening to Julie's discussion with me this morning. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock on the Synergy Connection Show. Thank you, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.